This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. Think back to the people who lived in your neighborhood when you were younger. If you grew up in Detroit in the 1940s, the 50s, and 60s around the Brewster Douglas projects, there were plenty of characters. How about the numbers lady who helped run illegal betting games but always had a stick of gum for the kids? There was the hot tamale man and Huckabuck and Shorty Black and a prostitute named Peaches and a cop named Rotation Slim.
What?
When?
Why?
I am curious.
It's our Am I Curious project, where you ask a question and we figure out the answer. Today, Michigan Radio's Kyle Norris finds out what it was like growing up in the Brewster Douglas projects in Detroit. And the answer involves tight-knit neighborhoods and a lot of singing.
Ruby Strotter says if she had to do it all over again, she'd move into the Brewster projects in a heartbeat.
It was just like family there. People were different. The whole attitudes in the projects were like solid. Everybody looked out for each other.
Strotter lived in the Brewsters from 1957 to 1972. She says back then, if it was raining outside and you left your car windows down, somebody would reach in and roll them up. And Strotter says nobody ever went hungry. If there was a family that couldn't pay their rent, neighbors would start up a card game.
It's called a rent party, and they would give it to whomever that needed to have their rent paid. It was no making fun of who had whatever on then. Nobody was poor. Everybody was the same.
She says parents had strict control over their kids. But other adults were also active when it came to supervising other people's kids. Warner Doyle McBride grew up next door to the projects in the Brush Park area. He remembers this one time when he went down the street and he might have stolen some apples from a neighbor's yard. Can't quite remember.
And I'd get home and my mother said, Miss Johnson called and said you were down the street doing such and such. And I said, no, Mom, that wasn't me. She tore my butt up. And you know why? Because she said, do you think Mother Johnson would call here and tell me a lie about what you were doing down the street?
He says kids knew when the streetlights came on, you had to be home.
You were confined to certain areas. And when you're confined, you had to find things to do. And the nicest thing to do was to sit and sing and harmonize.
People sang on street corners and in the parks and on porches all the time. And people also sang inside the projects.
It got to the point where you could be on a stairwell and you could hear a fabulous harmony coming from some of the people singing in the stairwells because that was the best place for an echo.
That's Mary Wilson from The Supremes. And she grew up in the Brewster Douglas projects. So did the other two members of The Supremes, Diana Ross and Florence Ballard. Wilson says back then, people would sing and dance on the streets because they were hearing this new thing called rock and roll on the TV and radio. She says she met so many different kinds of people in the projects that it actually helped prepare her for the experiences she had as an international star traveling around the world. In fact, she's got a little story she likes to tell. It happened at a special performance in London. All the royal family was there, and after the show, they were doing a meet and greet with the royals. Wilson says there they were, standing in line, three young women from the Detroit projects in their gorgeous pink gowns.
And so, you know, Princess Anne comes by, Prince Charles, da-da-da-da, and everybody comes by. And then we met the Queen Mother, who was just charming.
And then Princess Margaret came by.
And she stopped right in front of me, and she said, ooh! Is that a wig you're wearing?
Now remember, the Supremes were known for their long eyelashes and beehive hairdos.
So when she said this very loud. Everyone kind of turned, and when she said this, it was like, oh my God, I was so embarrassed, you know. And then I looked at her like I could kill her, but the thought that went through my mind was, she reminded me of one of the neighbors who lived on the same floor that we lived on in the Brewster Projects on the second floor, who was this really loud, gregarious, just uncouth woman. And you could always say, Miss, I forgot her name, Miss So-and-so, oh my God, here she comes again with her loud mouth. And that's what ran through my head.
Mary Wilson of the Supremes realized that whether you live in the projects or a palace, people are people, and no one is better than you. So feel good about who you are. Wilson says that's what the Brewster Douglas projects taught her. For Stateside, I'm Kyle Norris, Michigan Radio News.
Tomorrow we'll talk with comedian Lonnie Love. She grew up in the Brewster Projects in the 1970s and 80s. That's when things got a little rougher. Love says her childhood in the projects was fascinating and bittersweet, and it also made her into the person she is today.